All right, so what's with the clothes? Maybe my last sermon, I was informed, in this church. Never know. I'm glad. And it could be my last one I ever preach, so it's kind of sad to me, but it's kind of like a teaching time, a coaching time of the body. So I decided what to wear. And you'd laugh because we used to be a part of a team in Minnesota. There were 13 pastors. We all wore three-piece vested suits, navy, black shoes. We were on the platform, all of us. We all participated. It was like a spiritual mafia. So it'd be quite different than now. But next year I'll celebrate 50 years of serving with the spiritual gifts God has given me in the body of Christ. These overalls were my grandfather's. They're over 50 years old. My grandfather died in my arms. I blew breath into his mouth and pulled his jaw forward to try to save him and pounded on his chest. And my grandfather went to be with Jesus. And my son Justin was there with me. And these were his work overalls. He wore overalls every day, except at church. He wore a suit, looked good. And he was a man that a common laborer, worked for Tonkatoy. He was a caretaker of a mansion there in Minneapolis area. He was the caretaker at the church. He was a deacon, a leader in this Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. He was a man. And when I, as a young boy, I was called Punky. I got to sleep in his big old bed. And he would talk to Jesus at night before he went to sleep. And he'd talk to him in the morning when he got up. My grandfather was the image of work. He worked very hard, labored hard. So these overalls kind of reflect the lifetime of my grandfather. And it's been a lifetime in the local church with me, okay? There's been a lot of crazy things that I've experienced in the local church. And you know what? There's still joy. And Jesus is still famous. And he hasn't taken his anointing hands off the body. It's exciting. So I'm wearing these in remembrance of my grandfather and in my life of 50 years of walking with him and serving in the church with him. But I want you to look and think about working. Okay, so several weeks ago, we started with a sermon about living stones. Remember that? Guess who the living stones are? It's like the song, "My Papa is a Rolling Stone." Living stone? I always want to sing Living Stone. All week long, I've been singing songs like that. No, that's wrong. You are living stones, according to the scripture, built up to be built up into a body, into a wall, into a building, an edifice for unity in the body of Christ so the world can see Jesus. Amen? Okay. Then we realized if we're all living stones, somebody's got to pile this thing. We thought originally we were going to do the preaching thing. We were going to pile rocks on and make a big wall. It'd been a lot of work, a lot of cleanup. But every one of you had a stone and you brought it. But this is what God gave us, and it's awesome. Okay, I'll tell you about it in a minute. But we then realized that the scripture teaches that he appoints elders and pastors as leaders in the body to help place each one of us in the positions of service, right? Equip and make disciples. That's us. So those of us that are pastors and teachers, that's our job, is to equip and shepherd and help you find where you fit in that wall. And then last week, Pastor Lehman spoke about the servant leader part. You don't have to have a title to be significantly serving in the body of Christ. It's almost easier to be a layman and serve than it is to be one of the paid staff. Does that make sense? So please realize that the heart's desire of this church is to give. You're the one doing the ministry. There had been a day when I was in the church as a kid and that we were watching the pastors lead people to Christ and the pastors do all the ministry and the pastors were paid to do ministry. Well, that's not biblical at all. Our job is to help you, the layman, get unleashed for the power of the kingdom. And so Pastor Dick talked about you being used in ministry and for the purpose of building into unity. Unity is such an important word in all this teaching about being living stones or you know. So that brings us to today. Wow. Look at that wall. Every one of those is unique. I can't find one that's same on there. I'm going to point out something out to you in a little while. But you are one of those stones. You are not separated. You are one of those stones. And what I love is that How many of you went through this experience in your life where your children must be gifted? Every parent thinks their child is talented and gifted, right? Well, I was always in special class. I don't know about you. I was a gifted C student. My wife's the talented and gifted one. But you know what? I just laugh at that because every parent's just tempted to go that way. How did our kid test? Maybe all you guys are you all talented and gifted? How many of you are talented and gifted? You know, yeah, we all are. You know, this kind of thing. It's such an interesting thing that we do. I love the bumper sticker that my kid beat up your honor student. Yeah. That's my favorite bumper sticker. My kid beat up your honor student. Well, guess what? If you're like me, you're a gifted C student, and you still, you know, God used you in an amazing way and all this stuff, but you weren't in gifted class, you know. I have good news for you today. I have good news for you today. Every human being that's been reconciled to the living God, to the person of Jesus Christ, is gifted. Did you know that? Every one of you, if you read Ephesians, you know about that inner working and the power of the living God that came through the resurrection of Christ. That's the way he gifted every one of you. Child who has a faith in Jesus, old people that can't remember anything, they're gifted. Really? I'm not kidding you. You're gifted. I mean, if you don't go out of here more excited about your life and your walk with Jesus, I don't know what's going to wake you up, man. Maybe you need to go to Houston and live there for a while. See where your gifts are. No, seriously. You are all gifted. I am gifted. And I want to explore that with you today. I believe that every believer is given gifts by the Holy Spirit for the building up of the body to proclaim Jesus. Let me say it again. Every believer is given gifts by the Holy Spirit for the building up of the body to proclaim Jesus. So this morning, in our limited time that we have, I want to try to define what those spiritual gifts are according to Scripture. I want to demonstrate a little bit how they're used. Third, I want to determine how to discover your spiritual gifts. We'll kind of touch on that. And you have homework. The last one is to decide how will you use those gifts. And part of our job as servants is to help you discover where you fit. I have seen laymen unleashed and so excited about their work, they can hardly think I could give you names in this church of people that they're doing their gift and they're so on fire. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 to start with. I'm going to read a few passages. They are not, they are in the NIV. You can just listen or look in your phone, or if you have a Bible with you outside of that, please turn there if you want. I'm going to read several of them because so much is written about this in the Pauline epistles. And we started with 1 Peter. There's something there as well, but I just want to read a few of these to you. So bear with me as we read. In Romans chapter 12, and starting with verse 3. For by the grace I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. He's given every one of you a measure of faith. Don't think more highly of yourself. You know, we're not the famous ones. We don't have messianic muscles, as Godwin said last week, okay? Just the measure of faith God has given you. How has he placed you? Love being who you are, being, you know? Just as each one of you, verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift, say, is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, cut him loose and let him teach. If it is encouraging, oh, bathe in his encouragement. If it is contributing to the needs of others, bring it on. Let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, and that's kind of like the core passage that if you want to go back and read, they're all important, but 1 Corinthians kind of captures some things that others don't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll look at verse 7, and the first verse of that chapter says, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And he talks about being a pagan before and all this kind of thing. Let's go with verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are given for the common good of the body of Christ. Okay? To one, verse 8, there is given through the Spirit is a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's the gift of discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another, still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one, the one and same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he has determined. There's no question that the Holy Spirit gives every one of us gifts. He may give you more than one gift, but most likely, for sure, you have one at least. Let's go to verses 27 through 31 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. And now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. If the church has appointed, first of all, apostles, God has appointed, the church of God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those having the gifts of healing, and those able to help others, and those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. And then he asks, and I'll ask you, are all apostles? Answer. In other words, are all missionaries? No. Okay. Are all prophets? Okay. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Paul's making a point. And the last thing he says here is, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. There are gifts that are just important for the body, others that are least and unused on certain occasions. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, you'd see the love chapter. And in that, he's talking about love, and the greatest of these is love and hope. And he said, none of these things have passed away. The gifts haven't passed away. So I want to say to you this morning, I believe all the gifts are resonant in this world today. If you were in a place like Africa or somewhere else where it's dark, you'll see gifts that you're not going to see here. They're looking for them. So get ready for that. God is not in a box. Amen? Okay. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Just flip over there to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep going that direction. And verse 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service. So, verse 12, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, okay, like a building, until we all reach unity in the faith. This world needs to see unity. Wouldn't it be great if there are no denominations, but there was just unity around the cross of Christ? In the person of Jesus. Until we all reach unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become much more mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is making more and better disciples. It's one thing to lead you to Jesus, but another thing to bring you along so that you will know what your gift is and you are using it. If you're using your spiritual gift, you will never be bored. You will never wake up in the morning and hate it. You'll be so pumped about how the gift fits. Now let me make we're going to move into how they're used, what they are. We've just looked at what the scriptures say about them. But please understand, I know unbelievers and atheists that just couldn't wait to go to Houston. Do you understand giving and serving can be participated in by others? But please understand that is not a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift of serving for us would be go to the body of Christ in Houston and all the other areas and help it do what it's called to do in ministry, right? To go give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name is true. But a spiritual gift exists of serving is in the body of Christ. And when it's unleashed, it's incredible. You'll see that in Graham, Franklin Graham's heart, you know. He's ministering to the body, but also the extension of it. It helps us push out from the body, but the spiritual gift is given. The congregation receives spiritual gifts as they come to the cross of Christ for the purpose of building up the body itself. You with me? Okay. So let's look at how they're used. Let me make a statement about them before we go. First of all, spiritual gifts are not innate. You didn't get one when you were born. You got one when you were born again, but not it's not born into a child. Okay? Spiritual gifts are not talents or skills. Please understand that. They are not talents or skills that anyone can learn or people have special abilities. Spiritual gifts are supernaturally employed to be used in the context of building up the church and that alone. Okay? Most every person has a talent, a skill, or ability. While they add to the servant of the believer, the character of the believer, the servant character of the believer, they are not the result of a Holy Spirit-filled life. Let me say that again. If every person here has a talent, ability, and skill, I have lots of talents, you know, but those talents are not given to me by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me gifts only to be used for the building up of the body of Christ supernaturally. Okay? Please understand that. That implies that you need to live a Spirit-filled life. And let me say, folks, it's one thing to be born again and going to church and growing, but it's another thing to say, I am all there, Lord. I pay attention to you as much as I consciously can. I love you. I want to serve you. I am given to you. That's how we help each other. That's a Spirit-filled life. You are walking and you're paying attention. And I've said it before in this pulpit, God's not going to give a gun, a spiritual gospel gun, to you if you are not filled with His Spirit, right? If you see men standing in the pulpit that are not filled with His Spirit, they can't be given the authority and the power of the living God to draw people to Himself. I'm not going to give a gun to a child that I've never trained. It's not paying attention. He's really, you know, kind of laissez-faire about it. I'm not going to give him a gun. He's going to hurt somebody or himself. Same thing with the gifts. You'll only see the manifestation through filling. Filling is like this. You're so deeply moved to help somebody or care. That's a filling of the Spirit. He just tells you how to live and how to breathe. That's Jesus speaking to you. That's how you best see the small groups. Okay? Small groups. That's how you best see the Spirit-filled gifts in your life. Okay? So you see and use your gifts. Let me say one more things before we look at the list. First of all, the gifts are irrevocable. I love that. He's not going to take away your salvation if you've trusted Him, and He's not going to take away the gifts. You don't lose your gifts. You just may not be using them because you're not Spirit-filled, okay? Also, and I'm going to make a statement you may not agree with, but it's true. Speaking with authority here, I have experienced every one of the spiritual gifts at a certain time except tongues, okay? Speaking in tongues. I'll tell you why. Because I believe God gives to everyone what is needed at the moment of the body of Christ. When it's needed, He will allow you, if you're paying attention, to utilize a gift. Does that make sense? You follow that? That's not my listing my main motivational gifts, but it's telling you that it's possible for you to experience and taste each one of those somewhere along the line. I've prayed for the gift of healing, and I don't mean to be a charismatic healer that through my laying on hands causes. I pray for the gift of faith of healing, that as I pray over someone that's sick, that God courses through them with His Holy Spirit and heal them. Dave Zimmerman's not in here, is he? Dave Zimmerman's very sick, and I don't think we've gone over as elders and prayed over him. Maybe they have. But I hugged him in the hall a few weeks ago, and I said, Dave, I love you. I hugged him around because I can't get higher. I hugged him around the abdomen, and I prayed the prayer of the gift of healing for him. That's not my main motivational gift. It's not a gift I run around with every day. I desire that gift. But that week, you hear about his getting good reports. So I said, thank you, Lord. I could just be one silently on the side that prayed and know that I trust you with the impossible, Lord. We need him now. Everyone needs him around. Please don't take him home yet, you know? But that's what I believe. God will give you the use of those gifts on call. On call, even though you don't, maybe you're not a great speaker, maybe you're not an evangelist. But God will give you that stuff when you need it. Is that right, Chip? You've been in the bowels of the high school, and God's given you gifts you don't even have, right? It's amazing. Okay. Yeah. One other thought before we look at the list, and then we'll go to the list, okay? That was good. Thanks. I believe that, and it's a teaching, I can't demonstrate it 100%, but I believe there's a motivational, one main motivational gift that guides you. I'm going to pick on Dick because he's here. Dick, I hope this is okay. You can fire me after this? Okay. I don't know if it's the gift of encouragement. Where would counseling come in? Is that encouragement? Yeah. Everything I see this man do, his heart is to see healing and restoration. Is that not you? Is that not you? That drives him on his knees when he prays. Now take that to heart. What if you discover what your main motivational gift is and live, and it drives everything about you? Mine would be mercy and compassion. And then encouragement drives me. And of course, evangelism. But it drives everything I think and do. It starts with that first gift, and then I can use others, but I'm just saying, you know. Now take that green sheet with me, would you? Take that with me. Pull that out. And this is really important. You got to get your pens out and the green sheet. Make sure your name's on it. And am I going too fast, David? He told me to slow down. Are we all right? Yeah. Can you pay attention? Yeah. All right, gotcha. David's my mentor, so I can get away with that. I want to go through this list, and I know it's a work, and we're going to work. So you ready? Stand up and show everybody what list they're supposed to be looking at. Stand up. Stand up. No, stand up. You got to stand up out of your laziness, and let's go. Come on, stand up. Show each other. Build each other up. No, show them, see if they got the right one, not the yellow one. Okay. That's enough showing and telling. The yellow one is to take home as you think about next week with the ministry fair. When you come to the altar, maybe place your gift in that basket to present it to Christ and say, I want to use this. I don't know how. Show me. That yellow sheet is divided into sections of most of the gifts, and it'll show you, just kind of summarize stuff for you and show you scripture and show you what to watch out for with your gift and how it might be used. And I think it's limited. I don't think there are enough examples there of how you could serve. But let's look at what these gifts are and how they are manifest. The first one is administration. And every one of them starts with the divine enablement, okay? That means the Holy Spirit has given them the divine enablement to understand what makes an organization function and special ability to plan and execute procedures that accomplish the goals of the ministry. If the call committee and the structural change committee did not have those gifts on it, it would not be successful. Amen? There are people with the gift of Holy Spirit administration, and I just say organization, to organize. They're organizers in the kingdom. And that's why Jan Zender was my right arm through all the 17 years I was a youth pastor here, because she had the gift of administration. And yet she was fun, okay? Most administrators are not fun. You try to change things, they don't like that. So it's like the apostleship one, that's an awesome one. Of course, we said it already, but those are apostles that went to Ceylon and Sri Lanka, and they took the missionary gift, the divine ability to start and oversee the development of new churches and ministry structures. It is the sent ones. The Greek word means the sent ones. That's where the original apostles were sent out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the news. And that today is our modern missionary, whether they're here or in other countries. Is that you? Are you an apostle? Okay. The second two, I'm not using very often in terms of when you do the studies in the New Testament, because you don't see them there very much. You see them, but you don't. In the Old Testament, you see these next two, craftsmanship and creative communication. And I've got the name of the man in the Old Testament that was known for his craftsmanship. Probably some of you remember from Old Testament studies, either the tabernacle or temple, I've forgotten. But I want to show you something. Do you know who Hilary Amendola is? Is she here? Hillary, you did not come to church today. You're in trouble. So I was in the first service. The staff decided that we needed for the backdrop something that looked like a building that was with individual stones that represented living stones. So I walk into one of these back rooms one afternoon, and here's Hillary, Hitchcock's daughter, you know, the Hitchcocks? Okay. Sitting on the floor with a mask on her face, and she's painting. She painted every one of these stones. Every one of them, I've studied them, they're all different. We're all different. But look what she did. And I don't know who counseled her to do this. Look, down at the very bottom, is one plain white one. Who's that? Who is it? It's Jesus, the chief cornerstone upon which the rest of the body of Christ is built. She's a craftsman. She's an art person from school and all this kind of stuff. But I saw this woman taking the spiritual gift of art and using it. I mean, the people behind the scenes you never see, but that woman created every single rock differently. So you and I could see that we're all unique and different, built into a structure that glorifies Jesus. Guess who's at the bottom? I'm sure she did that. That was awesome. She had a mask on. She's breathing the fumes. And I said, man, it's hard to paint in here. Well, I'm pregnant, she says. She's protecting your baby and sacrificing for us. And it was so cool. So those are the craftsmanship, the divine enablement to creatively design and construct items to be used for ministry. You see it all the time here. And then creative communication, divine ability to communicate God's through overalls and a fishing shirt. No, that's not there. When people use creative things to communicate his gospel and his truth, okay? Are either one of those you? Let's go on to discernment. Oh, I have this gift, and it's a very hard gift. The divine enablement to distinguish between truth and error, to discern the spirits and differentiating between good and evil, right and wrong. I have to speak fast, Dave, because there's a lot to read. Okay. You know what is right and wrong. How many of you have had that gift where you can discern, you can read a person's countenance, you know when there's something wrong? As a youth pastor, that gift was given to me. It's also, I was the only pastor, the only person in a church of 3,000 in Minneapolis voting no of the membership for this one man to come as our Christian educator. I was sitting up front, and when I heard the vote, and one no, I slithered underneath the chair in my spirit. And the evil one's speaking to me, and I'm saying, Lord, are you speaking to me too? And it's like, no. I did not feel that this man was the right one to do children's ministry like Mary Lee, you know, Christian education. Great guy. But to lead Christian ed just didn't seem... I felt the discernment of spirit, so I acted on that. And I'm not telling you how to vote with Godwin. I'm just saying that in settings where you know if someone's speaking about something, you stand up and you say, this is not right. Do not do this. I've done that here. Not out of cockiness, but only when the Spirit gives that gift. And you know what? If you got the gift, most of the time it's right. Sometimes the flesh can make it wrong. But I'm just saying, man, he came 5 years later as the executive pastor. And he was awesome. And I know him. I've worked with him. I love him. But the discernment was, that's not the person for this, you know. So I urge you to use this gift if you have. It's a hard one to have. But it's more about evil. And whether something's heretical or of the evil one, it's discerning spirits, testing the spirits. Encouragement. How many of you love that gift? Encouragement. The divine enablement to present truth so as to strengthen, comfort, or urge to action those who are discouraged and wavering in their... I love that gift, to encourage and build up others. To use words or whatever love language you have to build them up and show them truth. Is that you? Evangelism. You are all witnesses. Say it. We are all witnesses. Say it. We're all witnesses. We're all to tell the story and your story. But evangelist is someone that just won't get off of it. I'm sharing with anything. My friend Daryl Farney shares with anything that moves. He says he's not an evangelist or gifted, but I'm going. But really, an evangelist is one who not only tells the story often, but he's part of the harvest. Does that make sense? If I'm speaking to a bunch of young people and I ask them to come pray for Jesus Christ, a lot of times after I've told the story, many, many will come. That's the gift of evangelism, that you're able to woo through the power of the Spirit people to the gospel. Faith. Oh, the divine enablement to act on God's promise with confidence, unwavering belief in his ability to fulfill his purposes. Believe God for the impossible. Look, all we owe is $500,000 on this building. We could pay that off in a week. My house mortgage is half that. And we live in a trailer. Or a double wide. Listen, a person who believes with faith, we can do this, let's do it. That's a person of faith. Oh, I love that gift. You've got to get other people to go with you. And then the next one is giving. I'm the poorest person with that gift. I love to give. I love to give it secretly. You know, I'm not rich, but anything I have. Barb says, why don't you give $50 out of $500? Because I love to give and see what God does. Anybody like that? It's just, oh, you just love it. When you got the resources, if I won the lottery, I'd be giving it away. I wouldn't let anybody know who I was. I'd be giving it away to the body, helping people. That's the gift of giving, and that goes together with faith. Now, if you circle healing, interpretation, miracles, and tongues, okay, those are sign gifts. They're really, really used in the New Testament a lot to establish God's church and his kingdom and to clarify who was speaking to who, what God was saying in the revelation. It wasn't something written down, okay? If you're in another culture today, all those gifts are probably seen a lot. If you're with the Maasai people, I mean, Ken Liagaki and others will tell you in a minute. I mean, healings and all kinds of stuff, miracles are going on to establish. So I want you to put those in a box and realize they're not gone, and you might have one of those gifts. So healing would be the divine enablement to see God's means for restoring people to wholeness. That's what I mentioned before, the desire to heal. Interpretation and tongues. If a person stands up in this church and speaks in an unknown tongue that you don't understand what they're saying, and they stand up, they're giving a word, I would ask, as a pastor, I would ask for an interpretation. That's biblical. What is this person saying? So the rest of us can understand. If they don't have an interpretation, then I cannot count the tongue as valid for the body. If they want to make it a prayer language alone and talk to God that way, you know, the scripture says we groan and utter. The Spirit groans for us because we can't put into words how we feel sometimes. That's part of that whole deal, okay? Let's go on to helps under healing. The divine enablement to attach spiritual value to the accomplishment of practical and necessary tasks that free up and support and meet the needs of others. That's service. How many of you have the gift of service? You know you do, okay? My whole small group's made up of servants. So I'm the evangelist sitting with all these servants. Isn't anyone to go out with me and share? We'll give. We'll labor. Going to Houston is not a spiritual gift. But serving this body is. And my small group is made up of those kinds of people. That's an incredible gift. A lot of people have that gift. Hospitality. My wife, if we could get a family, we'd take them right now into our house. She has the gift of hospitality. You provide fellowship and food and shelter. Look at that. Oh, and the next one, intercession. The divine enablement to consistently pray on behalf of others and for others, thus seeing frequent and specific results. There are people that pray, we all pray, but a person that labors and prays through, I know people that pray every day for their family, every day for their loved ones that are not believers. Every day for something, they pray and they pray and they pray until it's prayed in. Amen? That's intercession. And every Wednesday I meet with some of those intercessors. And they pray and they pray and they pray. Week after week they pray for the same thing. And you know what? God hears them. Do you have that gift? Jump down to knowledge and put knowledge and wisdom together. They're kind of a salt and pepper gift. Knowledge is the divine enablement to bring truth to the body through a revelation or biblical insight. You know what the word says. God's revealed it to you. You know how to interpret it, okay? If you go down to wisdom, it's the ability to apply that truth effectively to meet a need. So how do spiritual gifts fit the needs, you know? That's kind of like the wisdom and knowledge piece. So those are two. Do you have those? Leadership. Man, that's what we got to have from Godwin, is leadership, along with the rest of the staff. The divine ability to cast vision, motivate, and direct people to harmoniously accomplish the purposes of God. And that's what our staff has done all these 4 years, is cast vision and lead on and direct. That's the gift of leadership, vision and direction. Mercy, I love this gift. It's the compassion. I'll scrap the program for the person. Mercy. Mercy. The divine ability to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need. Prophecy, the divine enablement to reveal truth and proclaim it in a timely, relevant manner for understanding, correction, repentance, and edification. There is no foretelling. Now, I don't want to speak out to God and say that that never would happen. But as far as we know, there's a complete canon of Scripture, the complete revelation. John warns us of not adding anything to it. Jesus said, "Don't, not one jot or tittle is going to pass away." You got that? So a person that's a prophet is a pastor, a preacher, who preaches forcefully the word that exists. I'm not going to have a revelation about you that's not written in here. If I come and say to you, I have a word from the Lord for you that you are deeply loved. Well, that's... But if I come to word, Jesus, come back tomorrow. That's wrong. That's not a gift of prophecy today. Okay? A gift of prophecy is the divine enablement to reveal truth, proclaim it in a timely and relevant manner for understanding, correction, repentance, and edification. That's a pastor. And you don't have to be a pastor to have that. Okay? Shepherding. Oh. The elders are shepherds. They care and nurture for this flock of people. I'm a shepherd over my small group. The ability to care for and guide people into ongoing spiritual maturity and become like Christ. Women's ministry, MOPS, there's shepherding and there's shepherds in there. I skipped over miracles, didn't mean to, but God uses miracles in an amazing, amazing thing and around the world. We just don't look for them here, right? We claim things are miracles, but they really aren't of the magnitude that we thought they were, this kind of thing. We're not always looking for those things. Jesus, it says in the New Testament, he said, in the latter days, God used signs and wonders, but in today, he's using his son, Jesus. The miracle is the power of the living Christ among us. And so miracles, I've seen miracles with healing. I've seen miracles with youth groups. I've seen amazing miracles that God has allowed to happen. But we just don't give credit to God for those things a lot, do we? So this is the list. I want you to take your pen, and I want you to put number one, if you had three that you think might be yours, list them in that order, 1, 2, and 3. And maybe you're still in a search for these things. In order to find out what your spiritual gift is, you need to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. It's very important that you ask him to show you. That opens you up. Then look for fellow believers, probably in your small group, to tell you what they are. I have no problem asking if Dave Eklund, what is my spiritual gift? What is it? What is it?
Evangelism.
Okay, thank you. I'm with him every other week, and he's my mentor. He mentors me, you know what I'm saying? So he knows what it is, but I couldn't know this unless a brother in the body tells me, or a sister. You find out what your spiritual gifts by practicing what you do in him, in the spirit filling among people. Say, wow, that's amazing. That is your gift, okay? Use your love languages. Those of you know about those, that helps you see what your spiritual gift might be. Bill Gore is an amazing teacher. Is he here? Hi, Bill. Bill's been teaching. He's an elder. He's been teaching discovering your spiritual gifts as a class. They just finished it. They'll start again in December. But he would love for you to contact him if you're in a search for what your spiritual gift is, and he will work with you. So will anybody on the staff. Brian, you'd love to talk with somebody about what their spiritual gift is, right? Is he there? Yeah, you know, anybody, elder or whoever that you can go to that might have a little more wisdom on this thing. And Bill would be glad to talk to you. So as we get the names and numbers, if you want to call and say, you know what, I think this is what it is, but how would I really search this out? Does that make sense? It's awesome. Spiritual gifting. There are spiritual assessments that we have here that are laid out that you can go through. That'll be part of that class. Best place to discover them is in a small group, so you need to be in a small group if you can this time, okay? Now, you're taking home some homework, and that is to think about, pray about, Lord Jesus, where do I serve next? You don't want to just serve because you think you're good at something. You want to really be where you're unleashed as a person with a gift.